Right, so we're going to read from Ephesians chapter 3. I don't know what number it is in your Bibles here, but it's Ephesians chapter 3. In chapter 2, Paul has been speaking about joining the Jews and the Gentiles, both becoming inheritors of the grace of God, and we come now to chapter 3. So in the end of chapter 2, it says, "You're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household." So we're going to read from chapter 3 and verse 1. "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you've heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of God, to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became the servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given to me through the work in his power. Though I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him, and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." And I think there's a wonderful bit there about we can approach God with freedom and confidence. Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the one who made all things, I can approach him with freedom and confidence because my sins have been forgiven and Jesus Christ made a way for me to be right with God. Verse 14. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom is all family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasseth knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that it is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." God will bless to us the reading of his word. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? What does that mean? It means that I can gain, through the death of Jesus, that access into life eternal, that access into the kingdom of heaven. I like the last verse, "No condemnation now I dread." Are you living in condemnation this morning? Jesus Christ came to forgive our sins and to free us from condemnation, that we might be set free by his power. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We come to Jesus, we acknowledge where we've gone wrong, and there's grace and forgiveness. And I thank God for that, because I used to think I was a good Christian, you know, but the older I get, the more I realise that I'm the chief of sinners. But for God's grace, it's only by his grace. Now, the message this morning is really for people who are going on in the faith. But I always like to put that word in, because perhaps there's someone here and you haven't really grasped just how much God loves you and how much he gave to bring you into his kingdom. Shall we just ask God to bless his word? Father God, we just thank you for your word. Thank you, it's a living word, Lord. Thank you, it's life and strength to our hearts. Pray you, overrule all my inadequacies and bless your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I've titled this morning's talk, Strength and Weakness, so it's about more than that. And we're going to focus primarily on Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17 and onwards. So I'll read down from verse 14 again. For this reason I kneel before the Father, this is the Apostle Paul, from whom is all family in heaven and earth derive its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasseth knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. John Stott, writing his commentary on Ephesians, writes this, and he's speaking about these verses: I like to think the apostle's petition as a staircase by which he climbs higher and higher in his aspiration for his readers. His prayer case has four steps, whose key words are strength, love, knowledge, and fullness. More precisely, he prays that they may be strengthened by the indwelling of Christ through his Spirit. Secondly, that they may be rooted and grounded in love. Thirdly, that they may know Christ's love in all its dimensions, though it's beyond knowledge. And fourthly, that we may be filled right up to the very fullness of God. So we're going to think about these four things this morning. And as we come to study these verses, it's important to notice that Paul is praying, is not preaching. If we look down to verse 14, for this reason I kneel before the Father. Paul isn't in the pulpit saying, you be strong, you be bold, you be all this and that other. It was later on, he says, be strong in the Lord. But here he's not praying, he's not preaching at people. He's praying that God's people will be strengthened, that their love will grow, their knowledge of him and the fullness. And as one who stands in constant need of God's mercy and help, I pray for this, and I'm sure you do. These verses aren't to bring us into condemnation because of our failings. They are to strengthen us in the faith, to encourage us, to build us up. It's not enough, you know, just to teach the word. We have to pray for its application. So many people just read the word, but it applies to me. I need, and I really do need, to be strengthened in my inner being. I need this love of God, which fills my life. I need to be strong in Christ and the power of his mind. So then, what is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus? It's a fourfold prayer. He prays for strength, love, knowledge, and fullness. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible, chapter 3 and verse 16, if I can find it. May God grant you, out of the riches of his glory, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner being, indwelling your innermost being and personality. I don't know, but I've always struggled with inner strength. I'm not, you know, so most men are quite confident, you know, on match run. I've always struggled with inner strength, and this verse particularly applies to me. So let's look a bit at what is saying in verse 16. First of all, who is to be strengthened? Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Who is to be strengthened? You are. If you are there this morning, as I am, feeling a bit insecure, and all this, you need to be strengthened by God's Spirit in your inner being. If you're going through trials, and we all go, this is a foreign world, we have an enemy who likes to pull us down, and we need that strength that comes from God. So Paul is praying that we'll be strengthened. Who is to be strengthened? You are. How are we to be strengthened? With power. You know, God gives grace and strength to help in time of trial and need. This is my, just not my sermon, it's my testimony. Because I found that grace so much. Who is to be strengthened? You are. How are we to be strengthened? With power. Where are we to be strengthened? In our inner being. In that bit that only God sees. We are to be strengthened. And we need that strength. That's why we sing some of these hymns. Praying for grace, because we live in difficult days and we need that strength, and we need to seek that strength that comes from the Lord. Who is to strengthen us? The Holy Spirit. Who is to be strengthened? You are. How are we to be strengthened? With the power of God. Where are we to be strengthened? In that vulnerable place inside us that only God sees. And why are we to be strengthened? So that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. I've got a verse here. Compare Luke 22. Let's look at Luke 22. Luke 22:39. This is Jesus. The Lord Jesus, our Saviour. You know, the one wonderful thing about the Christian faith is that our Saviour and our God has experienced the trials of this world. And this is Jesus. In Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching that place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. And an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Jesus was strengthened by an angel from heaven in his inner being. So we need that strength that comes from God. You know, some people have this idea about Jesus that he lived on earth as a mighty powerful God, going around slapping people and healing people, and he lived in the strength of his God. But you know, Jesus lived on earth as a man. He was born in a human body, just like there's God and man together. And this is a mystery that we'll never fully grasp. But the point I'm trying to make through all this is that wherever you're at this morning, Jesus knows. He has experienced the trials of this world. So many people want to be mighty conquerors. Well, I'm just struggling to keep going, to be quite honest. But God strengthens us by his power in the inner being. And Jesus ministered from a position of weakness, not a position of strength. We read in Philippians chapter 2, which we will read, he emptied himself. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude shall be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. And taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place. This is a great consolation to me that Jesus knows the trials that I'm going through. Jesus defeated Satan not by the power of God, but by living a life down here of total victory. You know, when Satan tempted Adam in the Garden of Eden, God could have just zapped Satan out like that. But God defeated Satan in the person of Jesus through human man who was God. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. The Apostle Paul ministered from a position of weakness to a position of strength. 1 Corinthians 2. This is what the Apostle Paul said. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this is the mighty Apostle Paul, who we think was such a great man of God. This is what he says. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message was not with persuasive words and wise words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's. Jesus defeated Satan by the power, and the Apostle Paul ministered from a position of weakness. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness, and this has always been an encouragement to me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 19. You can have these verses after if you want, I'm just zapping about. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. Paul of the messenger of Satan, the thorn in the flesh. 3 times I pleaded with God to take it away from me. Make me perfect, Lord. I don't want this thorn in the flesh. I don't want this struggle, this battle. I don't want it. This is what God said. Oh, 3 times I prayed to take away, to keep me from being conceited. That's good, isn't it? But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. If you'd have seen me about an hour or two ago, you wouldn't realise the different person, because I was really down this morning. And I'm standing here by the God's grace and by His strength. And it's only by, we need to avail ourselves, not get condemned, oh, I've failed again, but find that strength that is God to strengthen us, our weakness. Our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that, it's better than the AV, is this? I put the AV behind me. Not that we of ourselves are sufficient for anything, but our sufficiency is of God. And there's that wonderful verse in the Psalm, the Psalm 84. And blessed is the man whose strength is in you. How are we doing for time? It's going pretty fast. But blessed is the man whose strength in God, or the woman, who passing through the valley of weeping finds God there. We need that strength of God, each and every one of us. And if I'm speaking to someone this morning, because it was quite on my heart, this, who is feeling weak and defeated, there is strength for you in God. His strength is made perfect in weakness. So I've talked quite a bit on strength. We'll look at the others pretty briefly. The second one, the second thing that Paul writes in Ephesians about is love. Back to Ephesians, it says. For this reason I kneel before the Father, I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. And we need that. I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with the saints. Rooted and established in love. What does that mean? We've got a gardener here on the front row, John. My father was a gardener for part of his life, and my knowledge of gardening is very little. But I know when you come to plant things, you dig a hole in the ground, and you put it in some good soil, and you stamp it down, and it's grounded and rooted in that good soil. And the most important thing is we need good soil. We need to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. I want to tell you this morning that I'm not planted, rooted and grounded in some organisation like the JWs, which is going to save me. I'm not rooted and grounded in some dodgy soil. I'm rooted and grounded in the love of God. Not grounded in this world, not rooted and grounded in other things, but rooted and grounded in the love of God. And through the difficult times, that's what matters. I'm going to read this from the... That's right. To know that God is for us. Do we know that God is for us this morning? human organizations, even this church, will not bring you to a full knowledge of salvation. You need to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. And sometimes we need to pray for each other. And sometimes those that are on leadership need to pray for each other. I've been on the eldership at the Gospel Mission 40 years. I've said this before, but I've written numerous letters of recognition. She'll tell you what I go through. Right, this letter, I'm sorry, but I can't come. Write it, put it on the desk. Go to bed, go up in the morning, throw it in the bin. Because it is a battle, and we need that love of God to keep going. We need to be rooted and grounded in God, so that when people upset us, as they will, and when stuff goes pear-shaped, as it also will, we are rooted and grounded in God. We know that God loves us, and that is what's keeping going. Thirdly, we come to knowledge. Now, I was wondering what this verse means, really, what it means to know that, you know, it says to grasp in the NIV. To grasp how wide and love and high is the love of God. No, jump into the love, I'm jumping somewhere else. Today. Verse 18. Bear with me, I'm an old man. That you may have in power. And to know this love, knowledge, yes. What does it mean by knowledge? Does it mean to some of us know about God? We've read the Bible, some of us have been in the faith a long time. We know about God. We know the doctrine. But how well do we know God himself this morning? What is your relationship with God right this morning? You may know about it, but how do you want a right relationship with God? Sometimes things come into your life and mine and we have to acknowledge them. And we have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And get back into that relationship with God. That we might know God. It's wonderful to know God. Knowing God's love in all its dimensions. I'm going to read again about this knowledge from God, from the Amplified Bible again. May you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in God's love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, that's God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love. Fully experience that amazing, endless love. And that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which surpasseth mere knowledge without experience. Do we know that love this morning? Do we know that God is for us? Are we living in condemnation this morning? Because we all come short of his glory. We need to put our lives right and get back to that relationship with him. And then it comes to fullness, not knowing Christ's love in all its dimensions. There's a song, isn't there? When someone really loves you, that's when your life begins. And when we really grasp a little part, we can't grasp the full amount of that love of God for us, that God is for us, that's when the Christian life begins. So many Christians live in condemnation. Yes, we fall. I fall from grace. But then it's a savior from sin. And when we come to him, that relationship is restored. Then with the turbulence in the marriage, we've got to come together and put it right. And it's the same in our relationship with God. We need to be in a right relationship with him to know his love. And then we know in Christ's love in all its dimensions. And then in chapter 3, verse 9, filled right up to the very fullness of God. I'm quoting the Amplified Bible again. Perhaps I've got too much out of it, but there you go. That you may be filled up throughout your being to the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled with God himself. And that's what the Christian life ultimately is about. It's about my relationship with God. That's what it's all, where it's centered on. So these verses basically are for us this morning. To know that love of God. To have that knowledge. To have that strength that comes from him. And to be rooted and grounded in him. So, Father God, I just pray for myself. I pray for your people here. That you will help us to experience you in the days to come in increasing measure. That you will fill our lives with the fullness of God. That others may see and know that we have been with Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen. And from the Amplified Bible, verse 20, it says, Now who is able to carry out his purpose, to do superabundantly more than all we dare ask, think, beyond our greatest prayers, hopes or dreams, according to his power that is working in us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, John. We're going to sing now, Be Thou My Vision. And it's important that we keep Jesus at the centre. Because if we keep Jesus at the centre, our life will be well ordered. But if Jesus gets pushed to the margin, things go a bit pear-shaped. That's not just my sermon, it's my experience. Shall we sing 51? Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, and may Christ be Lord of our hearts in every way. Amen.